I have been really thinking a lot and taking kind of a step back and looking at the big picture about what I would refer to as the joys and the pain and the frustration of being around other people. And I think it is really something that it's never all good and it's never all bad. Not that, you know, good and bad are really just labels that we put on things and everything really being relative. But this is something that I have been thinking about the past day or so and had a really interesting realization when I went to an event last evening and experienced, it was almost as if I was watching myself reacting to other people and really being aware of all of the feelings that were coming up in response to that. And then even more importantly than that were the thoughts that I was having about those feelings. And that is where I think the interesting part about dealing with other people, and I've always found a way to express this when I speak to people about the challenges of dealing with others and realizing that there are joys in dealing with others as well. I don't think it's just the challenges or the difficult things. I think there's also, I want to make sure that I remind myself and others that there are good things there as well. There is joy, there is meaning, there is opportunities to grow and come out of our comfort zone and learn and really expand our own consciousness, or, you know, by being around other people and hearing other people's perspectives and really realizing that it doesn't have to always be the way that we think that it needs to be. But I've always had this saying, and it's something that I, you know, revisit quite often, and it is essentially, you know, the most difficult and challenging part about interacting with other people is that we take ourselves into those interactions. And to me, that really rings true. What I find is that much of my, or, you know, many of my struggles and much of the frustration or negative emotions that arise within me have a lot more to do with me and how I react to people than they do about, you know, the other person. And that's not to say that sometimes that people are not, you know, are not hurtful to me or speak to me or treat me in a way that makes me feel negative emotions or is hurtful or makes me feel bad about myself. But it's really what do I do with those things? I think that's in terms of mindfulness and mindful coping. It is that awareness of, what do I practice in order to enable me and to support me to pay attention to all of my thoughts about what I'm feeling, about what's going on regarding other people. And no matter what, when I go into those interactions, I'm always, the toughest part is that I am bringing myself into those interactions. Wherever I go, whenever I'm interacting with other people, it's almost like that old saying, wherever I go, there I am. And to me, this has a really deeper meaning in terms of my internal reactions and the way that I think about how I'm feeling, you know, when I'm dealing with other people. So last night I go to a panel discussion, and the details really aren't that important, but it was very interesting how I, you know, even after years of practicing, and I do want to stop and say that just because we've practiced mindfulness, you know, and or mindful coping, you know, never ever, and I think this is probably obvious to everyone, that it does not make us immune to these struggles that we have interacting with other people. And that can be, you know, family, friends, acquaintances, you know, business contacts, people that we've just met, people that we're involved with in some sort of a project. That really, really does hold true. And so I go to this last night and became aware fairly quickly. It was regarding a subject that I was very, very interested in, and they were essentially having a panel discussion about, you know, what happened in the past in the area that I live regarding this subject, you know, what is going on currently, and then also what is going on in the future, you know, what they think is going to happen in the future. And I was really interested only in a part of the this particular discussion, and it wasn't that I was disinterested in the other parts. It's just that, like all people, we tend to sometimes have just a certain narrow area of focus that really interests us the most, and I think it's very human. And I go to this, and I don't know anyone at all, so I basically, you know, am around, you know, all people that I've never met before. And as someone who has always struggled with what they refer to as social anxiety, this is always, you know, can be somewhat of a, this always can generally be somewhat of a challenge for me if I let it. And that's really the important part here, is that, you know, I'm always generally mindful that, you know, I can tend to be my own worst enemy in these situations, because it is so much about how I am, how seriously I'm taking my interpretations of what I think is happening, what I think people are saying to me, or if they're not communicating with me. I can also develop, you know, a pretty pretty rich narrative regarding why I think that they're not interacting with me in some way, or having expectations, thinking that people are going to pay attention to me somehow. And it all seems very silly, and it really is silly when you look at it from a certain standpoint, that, you know, at least for me, and this is, you know, many people I've talked to who struggle in social situations, it is, you know, it's how we feel about ourselves. You know, how I, you know, how is my own self-image? You know, what is my self-esteem like? All the things that surround that body image, you know, how I think of myself, you know, what I think of myself. And what I find is, and this is a little, has been a little surprising to me, that, you know, we're raised in an environment where, and I'm not saying speaking for everyone, but I know I was, where, you know, and generally in the Western part of the world, there is this emphasis on an identity. We are, you know, we are raised with, and we're conditioned to a certain degree, and I'm there again, I can't speak for everyone, but that there is a certain investment that's made in thinking that we are someone. And there's an identity that goes along with that, and then there's an ego that gets developed along those lines. And what I'm finding is that when I am, you know, dealing with other people in social situations, and this is also why for many years, you know, before I started practicing mindfulness, I would avoid situations like this. I did not really want to go into social situations, especially where I did not know people. And it was because I really didn't know what to, you know, to do with myself. I didn't really know how to relate to people. I mean, I had an idea of the of things I could say, and, you know, to be able to participate reasonably in a conversation. But what I was overwhelmed by were all the feelings that I had about the joys, the frustrations, the challenges, and the fear of the unknown regarding being around other people, especially when I don't know them at all, or know them just a little bit, but not very well. And I spent many, many years being very socially reclusive. I just, you know, I would be around people that I knew very well. I had my, you know, small circle of friends that I felt comfortable being around, but I was really avoiding and actively avoiding being in social situations. I just really didn't know what to do. And I didn't know why. I just knew that it was very uncomfortable for me, that I felt very out of sorts. And I felt very overwhelmed by all those feelings, you know, of joy, of frustration, of disappointment, of having expectations, having an agenda, and things not working out. And then trying to compensate for that by either trying to push things to a certain conclusion, hoping that whatever my agenda was would be fulfilled. And it was nothing evil or bad or wrong. It's just that we get these ideas in our heads about who we think people are. And it really comes from who we think we are. And I've been thinking about that a lot here lately as well, that it's, I really have to make some sort of investment, some sort of emotional and energetic investment in who I think I am first, and then it gets projected out to who I think other people are. And then I start making assumptions about what, you know, what expectations it's reasonable to have or not have. And I know I would be much better off if I had none at all. I know that I would be much better off and much more well served by not having an agenda at all. And so when I tie all this together with mindfulness practice, this has really been what has made the difference for me, and as well as mindful coping practice. And what it has really come down to is that intellectually, even during years when I really was very socially reclusive and really avoided social situations, being around people that I didn't know, there was always some sense that I was missing something in my life. I was lacking something. And that was really the joy that comes from, and this is what I have to always remind myself, that when I'm around people, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's difficult, I always generally find that it really ends up going better than I think that it will. And it's not that I want to have any expectations, because that's the expectations in of themselves will not benefit me at all. I'm just really setting myself up for disappointment and, you know, causing further stress and difficulties for myself. But in this case, what I really want to do is just to be open to the fact that it is good for me to be around people. It is, you know, we actually, you know, find, you know, at least I do, that I have more energy. I feel more alive. It's not always comfortable. In fact, the more uncomfortable I feel like literally the more alive that I am, the more that I'm coming out of my comfort zone and facing the things that used to keep me wanting to hide out and not really be around any of those things and have to confront my feelings about myself, which get amplified by, you know, the feelings that, you know, that I have about other people and how I think that they're thinking about me and how I think that they're feeling about me. So this all really tends to be like a feedback loop of some sort. So fast forward to many years later, after years of practicing mindfulness, I, you know, this really helped, and it's really a two-step process, and this is really how this has helped me to really be able to more effectively let myself be around other people, even when I'm uncomfortable, and really to be able to benefit from the good things that come from interacting with others. But the thing is, I can't shield myself from all of the painful things that happen. And that's including the pain that I cause myself through making assumptions about people and having an expectation, having expectations for people and having an agenda of some sort, of having some vision in my head for how I think things will go with other people and things that I'd like to see happen, and, you know, trying to do what I can to make those things happen, knowing that in most cases, you know, I know intellectually that that generally does not always work out. And in some cases, trying to make things happen the way that, you know, that it is according to the vision I have in my head can actually be more detrimental to me and to others than anything else. And so it's really not worth what I'm putting myself or anyone else through to do that. So this is really a two-step process to bring all this together. You know, the mindfulness practice is what really gives me the support. And this, there again, this is available to anyone that practices any sort of meditative, you know, any sort of meditative practice that allows us to calm our mind. Because we will find ourselves in some cases where our minds are not calm. And so it's a matter of developing a practice that we can turn to and rely on. And I realize we can't just necessarily, it won't do the work for us. We have to actively choose to engage in that practice, you know, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of life, while we're on our feet, when things are really happening. And so that's really the first step is, you know, the we practice, you know, when things are not chaotic, so that our mind gets more used to, you know, just unconsciously defaulting to practicing when we're in the middle of everything and things are very difficult and challenging. And it allows us to be here now and to really be aware of what our minds are doing, to be able to hear what it is that we are thinking and to be aware of it, not to judge it, not to feel bad about it, not to think less of ourselves, not to beat ourselves up emotionally. But the only way that I can really get control of and be aware of what I'm doing to myself is to actually get my mind into a state where I am paying attention to what I'm doing to myself through my thinking about how I'm feeling, the internal reactions that I'm having. So in social situations, for people who find themselves wanting to sometimes avoid things like that, or even if they're not avoiding them, they kind of tend to go into them with some sense of trepidation. Or it could even be that, you know, for people who are aware, like myself, and these are all, you know, I find myself in all of these situations, you know, going into social situations, you know, feeling and sensing that I have some sort of agenda. There's something that I'm looking to get out of these interactions with people. And there again, it's nothing evil, bad, or wrong. It's just very human. So if I can go into these things knowing and being aware of the fact that I am, you know, in some cases, and a lot of it, you know, I think it really starts with how I'm feeling about myself. And I find that I never know why it is exactly, and I'm not sure I ever will know. It's probably very physiological. You know, it's beyond my understanding, but you know, any given day I can go into a social interaction and sometimes feel okay about myself. Sometimes I can feel very negative about myself. It can be, you know, self-image, body image, just how I'm feeling about who I am overall, or feeling inferior in some way, especially if I, and what's strange is these two things have to happen at the same time. I have to make the assumption that someone is somehow superior to me, or that they're somehow better than me, or that they have their act together more than I do, or have their life together more than I do. I need to be able to, I can't think less of myself unless I'm thinking more of other people. It's almost like it's mathematical. The books have to balance. I have to, you know, on one side of the equation, I have to make this assumption in order to make the other assumption about, you know, about the other side of the equation when in regards to myself and other people. So when I'm aware of the fact as I'm going into a social interaction that I know I'm already doing this, then the idea here is that, you know, I cannot make myself stop doing this. The more I try not to feel bad about my self-image, the more I'm probably going to indulge in it. So what I find is that just being aware of the fact that I'm feeling this way allows me to be more aware of any reactions I'm going to have as a result of that. So when I go into an interaction with someone, if I'm already feeling bad about myself for some reason or not feeling good about myself, I give my, you know, it's really the idea here is not to, you know, brute force any change, but it is about really about just being a little kinder and gentler to myself, or more gentle to myself. It's really about, you know, knowing that, you know, I'm feeling this way, and just to be aware. And by being aware of it, what I find is that I'm not holding on so tightly. I'm not believing what I'm thinking about how I feel. If I feel not that great about myself, I'm usually, what's going to happen is I'm generally, because we're human, you know, we're going to think thoughts about those things. And if I can stop taking those thoughts seriously and let go of them and not really believe what I'm thinking about those feelings, after a while, the brain just tends to work this way. If I'm not really investing or giving any energy to those thoughts, and I'm not trying to keep them going by believing them, they tend to just dissipate on their own. And then I can really, once I'm aware that I'm doing this, I can just pay attention to myself and how I'm reacting, and trying to make sure that I'm not really taking any of this too seriously. And it really does free me up so that I can really actually more effectively be in the moment with other people and not get in my own way. That's really the idea here. And this is really the aspect of mindful coping. In other words, the mindfulness aspect is just simply developing that level of awareness. And we have to practice some sort of meditation or some sort of meditative practice in order to be aware. And so that our minds will get more comfortable doing that. And we build those neural grooves of awareness. And so once the awareness comes online, that the likelihood that I'm going to, you know, kind of, you know, go off the road, so to speak, and get really caught up in some sort of internal reaction to something that someone says to me or doesn't say that I hope that they do, or, you know, the way that they react to me in a certain way, or, you know, anything that can happen that can cause me to feel uncomfortable or disappointed or dissatisfied with what's going on. If I'm aware of this, then it's really what allows me to cope. And when I'm coping mindfully, essentially what's happening is that I am dealing with whatever happens. In other words, I can't really make people be any certain way. And the best way for me to cope is to keep remembering that I can't control the process. And part of coping is, you know, not taking my own thoughts about how I feel seriously, not believing them, letting go of the need to take it all so seriously, and just let myself be who I am. And usually if I can do this, I find that I really can be more genuine and authentic with people. I really can actually be in the moment and not be afraid to be who I am, because I'm not taking any visions in my head seriously about how I should be, or I'm not comparing other people to the vision I have in my head about who I think that they are or who I think that they should be. And it really is amazing how much more effectively I can cope with any of the discomfort of interacting with people, because it is a give and take and it's very unpredictable, and we don't really know for sure what, you know, people are going to say to us. We don't really know how people are going to treat us. We don't know how they're going to react to things that we share or things that we say. So, and it's all happening in real time. And I, you know, it's very easy for me to understand why this is so scary for myself and for many people who struggle with this to a certain degree, and it's very human. I know there are natural extroverts who don't really suffer from any of this at all, and I wish I was one of those people, but since I'm not, and I can't make myself be that way, what I really want to try to do is I want to try to stay out of my comfort zone, and I really want to be in the game. I don't want to sit on the sidelines afraid to interact with other people. And I spent many years of my life that way, and it was only when I was able to find mindfulness practice and eventually develop it into a way for me to cope more healthily with the difficulties and the challenges and the joys of being around other people that I could really finally be willing to mix it up with other people and be in the middle of life where it's happening and not be afraid to do that. And just like when I went to this panel discussion last night, there were numerous times for some strange reason, I was very, very aware of my internal reactions. And it was one of those days I felt perfectly fine before I went. But when I got there, I just really tightened up and I started, you know, reacting to people in certain ways. I had thoughts about people who I thought that they were. I was reacting to what I thought that these people who I thought that they were, things that they said. And what's so interesting about it is I was able to almost stand outside myself as a witness and see how ridiculous that I was being. In other words, and the strange thing about it is I don't think anyone could have been able to tell, you know, on the outside that I was struggling at all, because it was all internal. Now, if someone was very intuitive, they may have been able to do so. But I think for the most part, most people probably would not have been able to see how much I was struggling. And what's so strange about it is I was literally struggling with my own thoughts, struggling with my own reactions, internal reactions, and really could have enjoyed myself much more if I would have just not done that. And it seems simple enough. You know, why can't I just not do this? And it's a good question. But it's one that I think is tough to answer. I don't know why I can't just let go of all these things, of all these thoughts about how I'm feeling, and just enjoy myself and be with other people. It's just evidently, you know, I'm just not wired that way. And I've talked to many people who are the same way. And what I think is, in the absence of being able to just brute force, you know, change ourselves and rewire ourselves emotionally and mentally, for me, what I found is that, you know, practicing mindfulness, practicing mindful coping is what allows me to really be in the moment, to accept the fact that, yes, being around other people and being in social situations can be uncomfortable, and there's nothing that I can do to shield myself from it. The only thing I really can do is just remove myself from it But then I'm basically isolated and am not doing anything to really challenge myself at all. And I'm not really growing. If anything, I'm going the other direction. And I'm stagnating. So what keeps me in the game and wanting to continue to be out there in the world, interacting with other people, is that I have to accept the fact that it is sometimes difficult. It is unpredictable. There's no need in having an agenda. And if I catch myself in the act of having an agenda or having expectations or an inclination to need things to be a certain way or needing people to be, you know, a certain way, that I can just be aware of it, let go of my attachment to it, not take it seriously any further, and just let it kind of fall away on its own. And I've been able to do this enough times. And there again, it's nothing extraordinary. It's something that any of us can do if we choose to. And it's really a matter of just finding a practice that works for us so that we can be more aware and more in the moment. I don't think there's any one practice that is what's best for everyone. Even though I practice mindfulness and mindful coping, I'm not saying that it is necessarily the best practice for everyone. I think everyone has to kind of find out for themselves what actually works. But I know for sure that being more aware of what I'm doing to get to being in my own way, and then to find a practice like mindful coping that allows me to get out of my own way, I can at least be out there in the world in the middle of it with everyone else, mixing it up and being in life and not being afraid to do so. And being open to, the joys, the pain, the frustration, the disappointments, all of the good things and all of the not so good things, because there's no way to separate that out. I have to be open to all those things if I want to be out there in the game, in the middle of life with other people. It's just as simple as that.